Andy Lopez, Invisible Gardener. Sorry for the delay. I guess the fire scares my computers. This is a song I was working on just this morning, and I published it just this morning. It's called I Was Thinking of You. It's kind of interesting. After the show, I have a cosmic spaceship coming up. Okay, so let's see what's happening here. Oh, there you go. By the way, I got a brand new song. I'm just really excited about it. I just published it a few days ago, and it's going to be. I got thrown off here a little bit by what happened, because this song it has 5,744 hits already. 331 people love it, and 57 people reposted. I'm just gonna play it really fast for you. Just the start of it. Okay, that's called Thank You. And I'm thinking of whenever I do the show now, playing that in the beginning of each of the show, because it's such a wonderful, high energy song, you know, and it does convey the energies of thank you. And on my next show, The Cosmic Spaceship, I will try to explain a little bit about not so much the music, but the energies behind it. It's actually a hologram. It's actually a dual hologram. It's interesting too, because I just got a review from it, and I think the person may have hit upon it. Maybe he knew it, maybe didn't understand it, or maybe he just intuitively said it. But the review basically says, Invisible Gardener makes the kind of music you drop everything and anything to listen to. One luminous new track, Thank You. The song swings between harmony and discord, true. Invisible Gardener found mainstream success with the track, Thank You. There really is no other way of putting that mood, like two parallel spirals. Yeah, it's exactly that. Well, spirals, yeah, a hologram is a spiraling hologram. And parallel is interesting to use that word, because they swirl in harmony. And by harmony and discord is the two different frequencies that are intertwined. See, I use sound to transport certain types of frequencies along with the sound. It's called music. It's different types of harmonies and different types of frequencies together. Anyway, I'll explain that more in my next show. And I tell people to wear a headphone for a reason, because one harmony, one frequency, one hologram is meant to work with your left brain, and the other frequency, the other hologram, is meant to work with your right brain. And it's meant to cause, to reconnect the two. And it's usually, the pineal gland is one of the jobs it does, is that it has harmony with the two. Most human beings function one or the other, and have a hard time having both functioning and open. That's what samadhi is all about, right? Having all the energies flowing, and it's a great experience, to say the least. Okay, so anyway, so today I'll talk to you real fast. I'm assuming everything is good. Kind of weird starting. You know what happens is I use Skype, and every time whenever I sit down and turn on to do the show, and I see in a little corner there, update. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to do the show and then do the update. Like idiot, I click on update, so I updated it. I figured it's fine. Then I turn it off. I figured you have to turn it off again after the update, because it still has the old settings. And then restart it again, and it should have the new settings. Oh, no. Yeah. So it messes it up, and I don't understand. It's kind of weird. So you started a little late today, and I'm sorry for that. So contest, you have 2 more weeks this week and next week to enter the contest for for October. And what I have to do here is write down October contest, right? And what I'm writing down is that this month, what you're going to get, the winner is going to get, right, whoever wins the contest is going to get my book. It's called Don't Panic, It's Organic. It's a color version, right? It's a printed book, right? I have an email and Kindle and so on. It's not available in any stores. It's on sale at my website for $55, but you're going to get it for free. That's a color version of it. And you know what I'm going to do, too? I'm also going to include the black and white version. And here's the deal. See, the color version is so unique, you should wrap it, put some cloth around it, only hold it when you're wearing gloves. Take good care of it, because it's a color version. It has the artwork of my daughter-in-law. Besides, between the artwork and what I've done to the book, it's a classic. Well, it's going to be worth a lot of money of course I'm going to sign it. I would like to get Cindy to sign it, but then I got to mail it to her, mail it back. I think next time she's visiting, I'm going to get her to sign a whole bunch of them. They're waiting for her to show up. I said, you got to sign these. Okay, so then that's what you'll get. You'll get the printed version of my book. Okay. The other thing I'm doing is that give me some time. But lately I've been giving away the membership. Basically I've been saying anybody who wants to be joined, get it into the contest will automatically win, and they win a free lifetime membership. And so it's the same thing as giving it away. So but you don't you know so it's so I figured I'm not going to just fool around with you and tell you enter the contest or you're going to win. I'm just going to say, look, you want membership? No problem. It's free. Right now, I haven't changed the website yet in terms of the membership was $20 for a digital lifetime membership. I've been doing memberships for a long time. It started in the 1970s. Recently, I've decided that I want to make the website a funnel, make people come to the website. They can get my advice, get my help. As a free member, they get access to all my books. This isn't a PDF format. It's not going to cost me a penny for you to download and read it. But I have a feeling, and you know, you might use a PDF, but what's happening now with the technology and everything is everything's moving along really fast, and hardly anybody, I can't read a PDF, my book, on my phone. I can read it on my iPad and on my laptop computer, of course, but not on the phone. And 76 to 80% of people use the phone, and that's it. So, but the Kindle version is very can easily be read on the phone, even though I don't read small things like that. I don't see how you. I think you have an audio version of it, right? Anyway, so if you want a free membership, then just email me. What you all you have to do is you go to the website and you look under. There's an inquiry, right? And you just say, "Hey, Andy, I listened to your show. I'd like to get advantage of your free membership. I'm going to be." If you are getting my newsletter, I'm sorry I haven't sent one out in a few months. It's been very interesting. Fires tends to stop everything. In the whole city, everything has been kind of paralyzed. And so it makes everybody walk around like zombies. But I hope to send one out real soon. But anyway, if you're getting the newsletter, you should have just entered the contest. When I send out the new one, which I'm saying, that's what I'm saying, when I send out a new newsletter, I'll say, here, click here for a free membership. It makes it a lot easier for you to get the membership. If you want to get the membership now, just go up to to a website under look inquiry and just let me know you would like your free membership, and I'll send you a link. The only link I have right now is that you have one link. I'll send you that. But basically, you consider a winner. You won the free membership. So everybody who wants a free laptop membership will automatically win it. Let's see. So today today I want to cover a question. Before I do that, let me see if I can just Okay, so I'm not really sure if this works independently of the music and my mic. I don't know if my voice is going down with the music. I used to be able to control the music, so it's just the right amount in the background, you know. So when I talk, you can sort of hear, I can control the music. I'm not really sure if exactly that's the way it works. So I'm gonna go ahead and click on that. Yeah. Okay, so a question I recently got is from, now when you send me a question, I appreciate it if you kind of, you know, you can give me your first name, but just tell me where you're from. And with the emails, you know, I can't tell where you're from. I mean, it's one thing, you know, you get a letter and you can see, look at the return address, you get some idea, right? So when you next time you send me, anybody sends me an email, a question, just include the city. It doesn't have to be the state. The state is fine. City, state. You know, I'm not going to, I don't need the address, even though if you're entering the contest, because you should still enter the contest because you might win the book, right? You want to have your address. Okay, so anyway, this person says, hello, I have a client whose lemon tree has psyllid insects. The tree was not fertilized, so it became weak, and she spelled weak wrong, W-E-E-K, and vulnerable. I came on the scene recently with a good nutrition program, and the leaves are so much greener. But how do I get rid of the insects organically? How do I make the garlic concentrate you mentioned, for instance? Thanks in advance, Marlene. No, excuse me, Marianne. Marlene, I thought it was an L. Marianne. I'm going to have to, before I forget, email her back and tell her that she won the lifetime membership. membership, okay? And maybe even the book, because anybody who sends me emails automatically gets the, you have one thing. And you actually get my book in a PDF format, but if you want the printed version, I'll pick one a month to give away. Okay, so... let's see. So first of all, you didn't mention if you're fertilizing a tree or conventionally. You know what I mean by conventionally, right? Using chemical fertilizers. And there is a big difference. It's because you say that you have a good nutrition program. So everybody has their own idea what a good nutrition program is. A good nutrition program is not using chemical fertilizers. Okay. And of course, the leaves would turn greener because if you're using any chemical fertilizer with high nitrogen, the high nitrogen always turns the leaves greener right away. We have been taught we want something to turn green really fast. And that's not the way it works in nature. But how do I get rid of the insects organically? Okay, so it feels to me that you're not using an organic program, because otherwise you would have said, organic program, and you're happy because it turned green, so you know the chemicals you're using works. Make it turn it green. Must assuming that it's green, that it's okay, and you want to get rid of the bugs. Why, you know, what to do to get rid of the bugs organically. You can't have it both ways. You can't use chemical fertilizers and then expect to have organics to control the bugs, even though the organic will work to a certain extent. But it won't work in the long run. So the fact that the tree still has a psyllid means that you're missing a few things, right? So if you think that you can fertilize a tree and then spray it with the bugs that are on the tree, That's how the problem it does. Okay. This is my opinion. First of all, I wrote the column. I write a column, so I also wrote it back as a question, as an, you know, for my column. So I brought up the a refractometer. I said, "Do you know what a refractometer is? A refractometer measures Brix levels." Okay. Now, a healthy citrus should be at 12 or higher. 12 is at the lowest, not the lowest, because it actually goes down below 1, negative 1, negative 2, you know, so it gets really low, right? 0, 1, you know, 10, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, right? But 12 is at the lowest that you can consider it to be healthy without getting attacked. It'll get attacked, but not as much if it was 23, because 23 would be one of the highest, you know, pest attacks. So there's a big difference, right? And in order to achieve higher Brix level, you cannot use chemical fertilizers. Okay, especially if you want the Brix levels to last. Okay, so chemically, the high nitrogen will temporarily increase Brix levels, but then drop below where you were before. You'll have a hangover. Okay. And it becomes more susceptible to the insect attacks. Okay. So, and also another thing is that organic fertilizers won't work in dead soil. Right? Understand? So here's what's going on. Because it's gonna the first of all, the bugs, the psyllids, are attracted to this. So you have to ask yourself, why are the psyllids going after the citrus? Well, you would say, okay, because it's weak, right? And because if I was to fertilize it, it would be strong and healthy, and the psyllids won't attack it. So that's understandable, because that's the kind of thing that you're taught. Use these fertilizers, feed your plants, and then at the main time, the bugs will come, but you can use these other things. And the fact that you want to be organic is kind of, it's cool, I understand. So what I'm trying to do is help you to understand more about the process so that you can understand how the garlic would work and why garlic would work on these psyllids, because garlic does work. And it'll work whether you're using pesticides or chemicals or not, it'll kill the psyllids. But my goal is to teach you why the psyllids are there. If you stop that in the first place, you won't have the psyllids. Do you really want to solve the problem, or do you want to continuously use the garlic? Because you can only use so much garlic, and after a while, your citrus will taste like garlic, and that's kind of not too bad either. So basically, so what I would ask is, what have you done to the soil? You knew I was going to get back to the soil again, didn't you? Right? So I would ask, so the person, so I would ask Marianne, because I'm hoping Marianne will be listening to this, is that have you applied any live compost lately to it? Have you applied any compost to it? But have you applied live compost that are rich in microbes and trace minerals? Okay? And that's the basic process of healing the soil. And it will take a few years, and it won't be corrected overnight. So if you think you're going to go by, well, it's interesting, you think you got a fertilizer within a few days or a week, bam, it's green, everything's fine. But didn't do anything to the soil. And the soil is going to take a long time to recover. So it's like, you know, if you started to, so you have to think of the soil as your stomach. It's like a balance. You have to think of an analogy of what the soil is like. And the soil is very much like your stomach. So if your stomach is working fine, you'll be okay, right? If your stomach is not working fine, i.e., you're not getting nutrition into your body, the trace minerals and other things, you won't be fine. And if you only lived on an intravenous feeding tube and bypassed your stomach, you won't be fine. Yeah, you could put all kinds of shit in there, excuse me, stuff in there, right? But in the long run, you won't be fine. You're not really solving your problem of. The real problem is the stomach, right? It's the soil. The trees are just the effects of the sick soil. Okay? So I teach long-term and short-term I always talk about long-term and short-term solutions, okay? So we're always being taught just to, this is something you can do right now, and it's fine. Just spray this and kill the bug, and use this fertilizer to fertilize your tree, and everything's fine. Even though what they're really saying is, you know, you're going to be stuck in this cycle, coming back and buying this stuff on a regular basis and spray, and yeah, you got to continue the fertilizer too and keep it, but that's normal. This is the way it works. Diseases, pesticides, fertilizers, herbicides, fungicides, you follow, it's basically the whole setup, right? Instead of teaching you how to do something, you don't want to have that problem in the first place. It's more like, that's what I call about being proactive, either reactive or proactive. Everybody's reactive. Take that garlic and spray that bug. Get a fertilizer and fertilize the tree. Proactive is basically, let me see what I have to do to be sustainable in my little garden, on my farm, or whatever. Sustainability basically means learning the process of recycling, learning the process of when you make something better than it was before, learning the process of understanding how Mother Nature is one of the best sustainable farmers ever, and how do we keep the soil alive and healthy as long as we do the right things for the soil. Everything else will be sustainable. The trees and plants that grow on it will be healthy. And yeah, they go through a natural cycle of getting old and dying and becoming food for the recyclers, right? So one of the things you have to learn is compost. First of all, compost is not, I wrote here, not all compost is equal. Some are made from animal manure, while others are not. Okay. To me, the key to having a live compost is having some type of animal manure in your compost process, whether it be chicken manure, horse manure, rabbit manure, sheep, goat, llama. I've gone through all of them myself at one point or another. And they all have different microbial life in them. And nowadays, you can buy different microbials and products from various different companies. Some are in liquid form, some are already in powder form. But it's still, it's always the best compost is the best compost you make. To me, the best compost I've ever run across is the compost I make. Because I learned that. That's why living on a farm would be wonderful, because that's the reason why I would have animals. I'm being a vegetarian, I don't really eat the animals, but I know that the animals will provide a very important foundation for the farm in the compost production and the recycling of their whether it be eggshells or feathers or different, you know, and when they die, you know, they can be recycled in many different ways, whether you feed them back to other creatures or even eat them yourself. There's nothing wrong with eating meat if it's grown in the proper environment. So the process of, so you need to understand that, first of all, the pests attack the trees because the citrus is having a trace mineral deficiency. It's having a trace mineral deficiency because it's not getting the food, the trace minerals from the soil. The soil is not putting out the trace minerals because it ain't functioning. The microbial life is normally there. It takes the trace minerals and turn it into a soluble form for the plants are not there. And on top of that, the trace minerals are not there. That's called soil depletion. Soil depletion not only applies to trace minerals, but also applies to the microbial life that's normally found there. If you think about it, it wasn't that long ago, maybe as soon as 100 years ago, right, where you had animals roaming all over the place. You know, 50 years ago, I was here. Let's see, I came in 84, which was like 30-something years ago, so... So 50 years is not enough time for having animals really all over the place. 100 years is a little better. 1,000 years, I would say for sure. maybe 500 years, there were animals running around. But before that, there was the thousands, if not millions and billions of animals, birds, creatures, roaming all over the place. And they all did their thing, whether they died or whether they pooped, right? And they all recycled it. And they all basically, what they did was spread the trace minerals around, spread the microbes around. And the reason why we make compost, you would think, well, we think we do it for recycling, right? I'm going to do my part, I'm going to recycle. No, you make compost. Look at that. I just realized that my PC also has the Skype on too. That is interesting. It suddenly decided that both of them are going to do it together. I wonder how that works. Okay, am I still good here, Mr. Engineer? Am I just talking to myself today? Because I like talking to myself and say, I'm all right. Am I still good here? Or maybe went out. I guess I should just continue it, right? See, I don't have a way to tell if anything's going out or what. You know what I'm saying? Right?
Yes. Hello.
See, and he doesn't seem to go to call. Hello? Guess I shouldn't push on any of these buttons. Okay, I'll just leave it this way, and there he is. Yes, he says. This must be, I wonder if, I was going to say Mercury retrograde, but that's another story. Okay, that's a long-term scenario. Healing that functioning of the soil, it's a long-term cellular. Just think how long you were there already, how long that property, how long that citrus there is. That'd be more than a few months, more than probably a few years, right? So let's just say if it was a mature citrus, 10 years, say. So you know it's been in the ground for 10 years. You know this has been going on for 10 years. So if you had started 10 years ago, I tell people apply rock dust, compost, and mulch. Every year adds up, and by now you would have a thriving and ecosystem under there, living organisms. You have all the microbes, everybody's happy, and all you have to do is apply trace minerals and a little bit more microbes on a regular basis, because things would tend to kill them. Right now what's happening is it's bad enough that the humans are the most toxic creatures on the planet, and that they're very good at polluting, and that they're constantly polluting the soil and destroying the soil. But also now the environment is heating up to the point where if you don't protect the soil, if you don't protect it, it's going to burn right up and there's nothing there. And your plants and trees are growing and it will not be able to survive. More than likely, since you didn't tell me, you didn't tell me where on the planet you're at, I really can't tell. Excuse me, but I would say that if you happen to live anywhere around here in Malibu, I mean, forget it if you're in the valley. What's going on in the valley is like 100 degrees on a regular basis. The citrus is frying. I mean, literally, you're cooking citrus. You have fruit trees that are basically being cooked on the branches. And the plants are either, they're saying, well, we're only going to put out fruit when the temperature is cool enough. Because normally citrus would put it out year round. So, but that doesn't work for them too well. And here in Malibu, it's been getting hotter and hotter, and the plants are having harder and harder out of time. It's hard enough to deal with the air and the fires and stuff like that, where, you know, when the temperature is above 80s, 90s, right? And Malibu never really gets over 90-something, you know, but it got up to 100 a couple of times already. And so that's bad enough, but what it really does is that since I'm sorry I didn't mention it in the column here, but I will mention it now, is that when you water more, right? You're going to water because it's hotter. You're going to water more. That's what gardeners do. They water more. It destroy also destroys the microbial life in the soil. So, and the city water has all kinds of junk to control the bacteria, so it kills the microbial life in the soil. So you know what happens when you have clay and water and then mix the two together and then add heat? You get porcelain. Very, very, it's called hard pan. And it stops the air, the flow of nutrients between the top of the topsoil and the bottom layers of the soil where the root systems are at. It stops the air circulation, stops nutrition, stops water. And so this is a long-term process. You have to pay. You need to pay attention to the soil that the tree is growing in. You have to actually pay equal attention to it. You don't say a thing about what you're doing to the soil. Not a thing. And that should be your key. You have to work on that. You have to say, okay, look, how much water is this citrus getting? How is the citrus getting water? If the overhead water is no good, it needs to be a drip line. And basically, citruses should not be watered more than twice a week. Once a week, if the soil is healthy, even less than that. I have one citrus tree for one customer once a month. Okay, too much water is no good for the citruses. Okay, so if you do it once a week on a drip, 2 gallon per hour drip, probably 30 minutes to 45 minutes. You want to have a really good, solid, deep watering, not so often, right? Once a week is more than enough. Maybe twice a week if you have really, really bad soil because the water disappears really fast and it's really rough environment, like it really, really hot, and you're doing nothing to protect the soil. See, so you want to start applying the rock dust compost and mulch. Rock dust being a source of minerals, a couple different varieties of rock dust will get you different varieties of minerals, different sources of minerals. Some rock dust are richer in calcium than others. Some don't have any calcium. Some have magnesium and so forth. There are over 96 trace metals needed. 96. As a matter of fact, there's a product called C90. Okay, and it has 90 trace metals in it. And it comes from the ocean. It's a Dead Sea product. The salt is very, very ancient and rich in trace metals. I take it for one little piece in my mouth is my body goes, oh yeah. Okay, wait, here we go again. I can't help it. Somebody says do it, so I'm doing it. Isn't that nice? I like it. You have to pay attention to the soil because the heat is probably is damaging the soil structure. You're probably not going to find a single earthworm under there, so you need to apply on a regular basis. And the compost is, that's where your humus is, that's where your living microbial life is at. You need to do that normally in nature. You'll find it normally would be dropping, things will be dropping between animal manure, birds, stuff like that, feathers, leaves, grass, all kinds of stuff would be dropping down there. If you ever walked in a forest lately, you'll see that the things are going on down there. And so that's what you want. And so if you don't have that, then you know that your soil is not functioning, that you know your plants are not going to get the nutrition they need. Chemical fertilizers do not have all the trace minerals. Okay, that's why they have their numbers, right? 10, 10, 10. Well, there's 90 more of them needed. The 90, 87 more of them needed, okay? All right, so that's a long-term solution. It's going to take a while to get the root systems to work. You have to learn. You have to constantly, you know, when the first time you add compost to this environment, all 90% of the microbes will die. Because there's nothing there for them to grow in like a desert. So you need to, you know, amend the soil slowly over a period of time and allow it to slowly come back. So each time you have to have a living compost to it. I like to use the Dr. Earth's planting mix because they have all sorts of mycorrhizae in the back. It's an acid pH. It helps here in a clay environment. We have an alkaline pH. Well, what's going on? The world's going to end. And so if it's, that takes a while, and you have to constantly, so you'll find now on the market, and I've been talking to you guys about it for a while now, because I do, my service is, I consider myself a soil medic, soil medic, soil medic, right? Or a soil doctor. I happen to know a company named Soil Doctor, so he doesn't like me using that too much, because he does, that's his thing, right? But I'm like a soil medic, and I basically work on the soil, and it takes a while. It's just like in your stomach. So if your stomach's upset or not working fine, you need to take it easy and do right by it. It's going to take a while. So like your body, healing takes time. And in the interim, the bugs are still going to be coming around to the for the plant, because they have a built-in refractometer. They can tell their bricks level. They don't know what the word bricks mean or anything, but it just so happens that, that we it was let's see, what was his name? I don't remember his name now, but he invented a the refractometer, and refractometer was actually, it's invented by a cook. He invented a handheld one. It's not the actual invent. Maybe he did invent the actual, because let's see, there's a refractometer that you can use to look at stars. And you can t and other planets, you can determine their composition by the how the light gets broken up. And it's the same thing with the refractometer, handheld refractometer. It breaks up the light that's passing through the liquid, because what you do is you take the blood of the, I know it's gory, but the blood of the citrus, which is basically, what I do is I take the blood of the citrus, but the way it's done in industry, because the refractometer is used, for example, for beer, wine, right? It measures sugar levels, breaks as a measurement of sugar. So you can take a citrus and measure the juice, the orange juice. Put a drop or two of the orange juice into the window of the refractometer, look through the refractometer, point it out of the light. You'll see that there's a line. There's a black area and a white area. The white area is on top, and the black area is on the bottom where they meet. And there are numbers that run up and down. Look at the numbers where they where that black area and white area meets. That's the Richt levels. And they even have a there's an interesting thing about that, because what I tell people is that the higher the Richt level, the higher the minerals. And so somebody came up with a rule. It's called the fuzzy line rule. That line that meets where the black and white meet, the more precise it is, the less minerals it has. So in other words, it'll have less combination of minerals it have. It may have one particular mineral. So if it's rich in ca just calcium, for example, or iron or whatever, that's what'll show up. And that's what it's used in science now, in business and stuff like that. That's how you can tell what metals they are. They all have specific color variations and so forth. And if you're looking for a, right, but in our terms, in the juice and in the plant, we want to have a blend of trace minerals, so it should be fuzzy. And the fuzzy, if it looks, you can't even tell the two are like really, really, really fuzzy, then it has a wide blend of trace minerals. It's called the fuzzy line rule. So interest, stop it. Interestingly enough, that I've learned that you can also measure the Richt level of the tree itself, of the plant itself. So instead of taking it from the juice, right, you take it from the leaf or the flower, right? So the leaf, if you've ever taken a leaf and crushed it up, you see it has this green chlorophyll substance, right? And the chlorophyll is almost identical to hemoglobin, human blood, in a lot of different ways. So you can take that. What you'd basically do is you take a leaf, a small piece of a leaf. I bring with me a little motor. I have a little glass motor. It's a glass unit that has a little pedestal that I would put the leaf in, put a drop of distilled water in it, and then crush it down so I get a juice out of it. If the leaf has juicy enough, you don't need to add the water, but sometimes you may have to, in order to get a little drop of it. I would try first taking the leaf, just folding it over and crush it down, and with the motor, try to, with a little pestle, try to grind up, and then put the leaf on it and see if you can get some of that green on it there. If you can't do it, then just put a drop of distilled water on it too, and it'll give you a reading. Look through the eye, look through it. You see what the bricks reading of the citrus, right? Now the reading of the citrus tree would be different than the reading of the juice. And as a matter of fact, if you take one, if you it's supposed to be the reading of this, of this citrus. If you take it from one leaf over here, and you do a reading, and you clean out your instrument and everything, and you take them from another part of the tree over here, and you do a reading. And you take out, you know, and record the reading. If you take it for another part of the tree, they all should be the same. And if they're different, there's a name for that. That basically means that the tree cannot take the minerals and pass it out evenly throughout the tree. So there's a problem there. Okay? And then on top of that, that brick's reading of that tree will change according to what season it's in. And you can do the same thing with pine trees. You can do the same thing with any tree. All trees use chlorophyll, so that chlorophyll is what you're measuring. And so the refractometer is really, really good for using in vegetables in the garden too, because you can measure your brix level of your lettuce. Anyway, before we get carried away, so you have that long-term solution, which is basically start working on the health care of your soil. In the interim, yeah, there are things you can do to tell the bug, go away. Okay, so the main thing you want to do is not spray something that will damage the tree or damage the soil. Garlic happens to be one of them. It's really, really easy to use, really easy to obtain. Garlic is one of the oldest tools the organic farmer, gardener has been using. Right from the very beginning when he started farming, he wanted to figure out how to, you know, a bug is going to kill my plants or something. What can I spray on it? And I'm sure somebody like me came along and said, here, spray the garlic on it, you know? And I wrote a book on how to keep the mosquitoes from biting you. If it can't find you, it can't bite you. And guess what? That's why, you know, they always say about eating garlic, right? When you eat garlic, your body absorbs all the nutrients and everything, but it gives off the garlic odor, right? Through your skin, through your mouth, through everything. And the bugs will smell the garlic and not smell you. And I figure, well, if that's true, then why don't we just spray the garlic on the plants? I'm sure other people throughout history have come up with the same thing. So that's what you do. You can make your own garlic spray. 8 ounces of crushed garlic you get at 99-cent store. Put it in a pantyhose, tie it into a ball. Let it sit in about 5 gallons of water. 5 gallons of water. Let it sit, squish it, squish it, squish the garlic so that the juice comes through, but the garlic piece of stays in the pantyhose. Then put that garlic and the juice in the sprayer and spray the plants. You'll find that will kill them on contact. Garlic will kill all soft-bodied insects on contact, yet it won't harm bees, beneficials, animals, right? Birds won't harm the environment or the soil. You can also buy garlic in the store. It's oddly enough, it's called garlic barrier. So garlic barrier is a gallon of it or a quart of it. Just follow instructions because it's very, very concentrated. It says it has over 100 clove in there. I took a cup of garlic barrier and put it in 100 gallons of water, and it was still too strong. Man, I was like, ooh-wee, what's going on here? Hey, hey. People will come out and say, oh, I love the garlic. One guy was Italian. Oh, viva la mia, it's a garlic. I need some olive oil. Let's eat. But it will kill. I use it to kill whiteflies. And that's very useful when you are trying to keep your patient alive while you bring the patient's health up. See what I'm saying? Garlic. It also happens to work on mosquitoes. Like I said, mosquitoes. And I mentioned it a long time ago, and I think they heard me because now they have a product called Mosquito Barrier. So it's garlic barrier, this is mosquito barrier. Mosquito barrier is supposed to be 10 times stronger than the garlic barrier. You know, I think it's the same. I've used them both. I can't tell the difference. They're both really, really strong. Maybe past a certain point, you can't tell if something's really strong or not, you know. It's called mosquito barrier. So garlic barrier or mosquito barrier, both will do the same thing to kill the bugs. You can also spray compost tea. You can also spray cold brewed coffee. Caffeine will kill them dead. Get organic cold brewed coffee, one cup. You know, they come like 8 ounces of, I think it's a pint of cold brewed coffee is enough to make 20 cups of coffee, something like that, concentrated coffee. So you just take one of those little quarts of cold brew coffee, stick it in the 3 gallons of water. And don't do like I did. Don't mix the cold brew coffee with the garlic. Phew, talk about a smell you never will see, will smell, right? So you're not going to normally don't run into garlic infused coffee, right? and it's such a strange smell. I didn't even know what to do about it, but all the bugs and everything left. It's, oh, I'm out of here, man. This stuff is the weirdest thing. Also, a very good repellent to it. Does a good job of repelling creatures. Use one or the other, and what I would do is I would use the garlic has some benefits, and that it would make the citrus have a nice garlic taste too, which I love. I do that with apples; makes it have a nice garlic taste. The caffeine will make the citrus taste like coffee if it's done too soon before picking. You have to let the caffeine go work its way through, right? And there are many other things you can use. Those two are the simplest ones you can use. They won't do any damage to you or to your environment. Mary Ann, thank you for the email. I will email you back and let you know that you have won a free lifetime membership and that you're also entered to win my Don't Panic, It's Organic book. You'll get the color version of it and the black and white version. And if anybody else wants to win it, feel free to go to my website and look for inquiry, right? And to say, Andy, I just heard you on Don't Panic, It's Organic, and I want my free lifetime membership, and also tell me if I want the printed version of the book. You got this. You got until next, I think it's next week, before the month is over with. Let's see, where are we? Yep, Saturday. So you have one. You have roughly a week, maybe not quite 2 weeks, because next Saturday it's actually the November 2nd, okay? And so by next Saturday is when I announce the winner who won the book and the two versions of the book. And if they're not a member, of course, they get the free lifetime membership as well, okay? And so that's at invisiblegardener.com, right? And so you also can send an email to Andy Lopez at invisiblegardener.com. Okay, and so coming up, and I think we have 3 more minutes. So let's see what we got over here covered. So we have, you sign up to receive my newsletter. I've been working on it very hard. I should have a new one coming out really, really soon. I treat it like a newspaper. Oh, I think I have to go now. 2 minutes. 2 minutes. He should have like a little bell, you know.
2-minute warning. 2-minute warning.
So you're listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic. I've been doing this. My name's Andy Lopez, known as the Invisible Gardener. I started in 1970. Been doing this a long, long time. I've been running a club for a long time, and I decided recently that I'm just going to make membership for free. You're welcome to come. If you go to the website, click on Inquire, it says, Andy, let me in, give me my free membership. It's going to need a few days to a week to change the system because it's based upon people joining, you know, for membership. It used to be $20 a lifetime, but I decided I'm just going to open it up and let the traffic flow through and just keep me busy that way. Check out my book, Don't Panic, It's Organic. It's available any place you buy books. Amazon, Kindle, those things is available there. You can only get the color version, the printed color version from me. I also have a super seaweed product I invented, and I have it's a microbiological activator, right? That's on sale now from $150 for a quart down to $100 for a quart. And there's also a pint, and I think there's a smaller sample size. And I also have Invisible Gardener's Grower's Kit, which is basically a quart of the super seaweed and 5 pounds of my Invisible Gardener's Rock Dust Blend. Remember, the quart's $100. And the Rock Dust Blend is also $50. So now that product right there is only $50, which is really a good deal. And then I also have the Rock Dust by itself, the Rock Dust Blend. It's just a blend of 14 different types of rock dust from around the world, plus microbial life. It's all ready to go for you. You use very little bit of that, okay? That's available on Invisible Gardener.com, GARDENER.com. time to wrap. So I don't have any wrapping paper. Okay, guys, see you all later. Bye now.